It's like The Big Short, 60%.
Oh, Jesus. It's
too real. It's way too real.
Yeah, the Big Short feels like it's gonna happen any day now.
You know, we should do The Big Short and bet. What? No, let's not do the housing market. Let's find something to bet on and make a lot of money.
Stock market.
We could do the stock
market. Is it possible to short the entire stock market? Short the stock
market?
Short
the stock market? I really want to put those on Instagram. Dan and I are trying to figure out if we can short the entire
the four best ETFs to short the market in 2018.
Ooh. That's okay, what I'm talking about.
I'm just going to
save that.
I'm going to save
it. I'm going to save this, and we're going to short the shit out of it, because when it goes all tits short up, when it goes tits up, we're going to be...
Papa's getting an NSX.
It's like, when everybody's like dying out and be going on food stamps, I'm going to be rolling up in a fucking electric ass blue NSX and be like, told you so.
I'm getting orange.
I'm getting orange in McLaren, motherfucker.
Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face.
I'm alive.
I'm alive, and you're alive. We're both alive.
We're both alive. I can talk today instead of last week. I go, we can't record because I physically can't talk. Then yes. He fucked off to New York for a week, allegedly, and now he's back and he's alive. He didn't. Oh, I can't say that.
I did not die.
Flying. What? I'm pulling the plug there. I'm just stopping.
Let's stop. Sean's back and he's already about to get me in trouble somewhere. Hi, whoever's trying to go through my career for trying to find provocative things I say to use them against me in the future. I hope you're having a fun time.
We have all that fine tooth comb. But super fine comb.
This is Audio Face. It's a podcast, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that actually fucking matters.
Honorable Chairman Sean Award for doing something fucking different.
That's that's what we're about at Audio Face. We have to do things different and be good. Long story short, you're here. You know.
You know. You like it.
We're going to be talking about
thing, allegedly
Black with a six. Okay. Do you remember?
Man. Six Clack, okay, so, is what I call
it. So there's an old Simpsons joke where Mr. Burns is explaining how Homer Simpson failed a test miserably.
Yes.
And he was like, oh, how bad did the test fail? And he goes, he spelled Yale with a six. And that's kind of what this is like. But anyways, Black released a new album, East Atlanta Love Letter. Bob Moses' new album, Battle Lines, we listened to that, it was pretty good. And No Name's debut album, Room 25, we also heard that. And there's also a lot of news, as usual. And we start this episode of Audio Face with So You Don't Have To, where we listen to a song, So You Don't Have To. This week, we listened to Future's Take You Back, which is...
Oh, dear God.
Before we talk about this, let's put this on paper. Future is experimenting, and he's trying to do something with electronic music. Now, from there, I go, interesting. I like rap.
We've said it before. We tried trap. There's different things you could do. We had that conversation.
Trap and EDM are fairly cousins as far as instrumentation goes.
They're like cousins twice removed on the opposite side of the country that seen each other once when they're like three and one got slapped.
Hi, Jennifer. But let's try to figure out which one of us got slapped. But
I like this Jennifer already. Keep him in his place.
But I was going to say the trap in EDM is different from trap in rap music, but there's some similarities. Nevertheless, you would think that, oh, this is interesting. An artist who is known for experimenting is going to try to experiment a song. This might be the worst song I've heard all year. This is up for an award.
Jesus, it's that, but you think it's that bad. I think it's awful. I don't think it's one of the worst of the year because we had a lot of bad stuff this year.
You're right. We had a lot of bad stuff this summer.
This summer has been rough.
Shout out to the
Also, we've had a lot of... We had the most amazing song of the year this summer, and we've had some of the worst. So it's like, pick the bad with the good.
Well,
so,
there's another 3.5 months in this year. Oh, my God. And
there's... Oh, my God. I'm almost in off-season, and I've done fuck all because crashes. Wow.
We are...
Jesus.
We are almost at the end of the year, and so we're going to... encounter many more good songs and bad songs to round out this year and give us a good idea. But nevertheless, Take You Back managed to do everything I hate about trap and everything I hate about EDM at the same time.
Yeah, just about.
The only thing it was missing was an obnoxiously hyphy-fifey build-up to the drop.
And then a lot of Quavo ad-libs.
Oh yeah, didn't have ad-libs.
It had like barely ad-libs or just like whispered in, but it wasn't just straight tone, tone.
Yeah, and Future is, yeah, heavily auto-tuning things, which auto-tune got...
Stupid auto-tune, just like in Superfly, what I was telling him earlier. I literally can't understand him because it's trap mumble auto-tune, which is just... Man, that's a linguistic invention.
Linguistic invention. I mean, it's worked pretty decently for Future, even though we didn't like the mixtape that you released earlier this year. Even though we didn't like one of the mixtapes you released earlier this year, the one with Wi-Fi Lit.
Oh god, that song.
He's also released other things that have done well, and Future's like extremely successful.
He did Superfly soundtrack, and that wasn't half bad.
Speaking of successful, we're going to be talking at the very end of this episode. Forbes came out with their highest paid rappers list.
Oh, no.
I think that's interesting.
And also, talk about successful. Lil Pump.
Oh, yeah.
Lil Pump.
Let's jump into news.
And I almost called him the C word.
Which one? Which one? Anyways.
Kanye West. What do I normally call Kanye?
Right. I get you. So Kanye West and Lil Pump released I Love It. I talked about it a little bit, a tiny bit last week. This is actually going to be the song that Sean was going to bring onto the show and listen to it so we didn't have to. But, we didn't have to. You, listening, you're part of the family. It's a weird family. Anyways, the song broke YouTube's streaming record for, like, a debut of a music video. And it's a pretty, like, it's become an iconic meme-worthy thing with, like, Lil Pump and Kanye West wearing the big squared-off costumes.
I don't even know what the fuck you want to call that stupid thing, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely... different and visually striking, and pretty much anything Kanye does just becomes viral. Coming with the fact that Lil Pump also is having his own viral moment, and unfortunately he has an album that's coming out next week that we're probably going to listen to. I mean,
friends that like Lil Pump. Fucking kill me.
I have coworkers who like Lil Pump, and it's a lot to deal with.
But that coworker, or is it coworkers plurals or just one coworker?
That's an awkward conversation at this point. But, let's just say coworker for the sake of being vague and not putting numbers to this. But
y'all got red wedding. Walked to my door. That red wedding happened. Well, you know. Never mind.
Anyways, let's please. I've been back for one. We've been back together for 1 week. Can you please, or a couple hours? Can you please not make me lose my job earlier than I probably will?
I didn't even think of that. Honestly, I'm just like. Anyways, how many people listen? Because I have I have three friends who listen to Lil Pump, and I actually like him, and I go okay.
And if I'm being super. He's optimistic.
He's not the worst.
Though. I Love It is not the worst song I've heard Lil Pump ever.
It's not annoying. It's just, it's whatever.
It's hilariously uncreative for reasons we're going to doubly go into. But really fast, at the time of recording this, which is Sunday evening, it's got 102 million views.
Fuck
it
me.
It only came out last week. We're about to put up Gangnam Style numbers here, honestly, at this rate.
$1 billion views. Look at my look on these views.
Well, I have a... We have a deep-seated hatred for Lil Pump on this podcast, but credit where credit is due. This is a really amazing feat.
Is he in jail?
He is also in jail.
Good man.
This is what we, or maybe I talked about last week. Because you weren't there. It sucked.
On the Sean doesn't pay up.
Yeah. At least at the time, I recorded a podcast alone, but it wasn't because I deleted the first one.
Yeah, exactly. It's just because I physically couldn't talk.
And now you can talk, and it's going so well so far.
Now you know why I said I shouldn't be on this podcast anymore.
But the reason why I was alluding to it's not that creative is because Kanye West pulled a Vanilla Ice and stole the bass line for I Love It from a remix of a song called What Is This Thing Called Love, which is even worse. That it even has love in it. But when you go through halfway of the song, the Alexander O'Neal song kind of switches to... this, like the bass line backs it up, and look, what do you know? It's the doom, 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 like it does that. How long until Kanye West goes, no, you don't understand. My song is doom, 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 doom. He tried to Vanilla Ice his way out of a lawsuit. I will never forget that. Like, that needs to be in musical canon.
Vanilla
Ice's interview where he tries to explain that he didn't totally rip off Under Pressure.
Yep.
And since we're talking about Kanye West, and I really try not to, I just thought I'd throw this in there. Paul McCartney snubbed, rejected Kanye West's offer to produce his new album.
He's like, fuck out of here.
I remember Damon Albarn actually texted Paul McCartney and said, don't work with Kanye, he's like crazy. Which is funny coming from Damon Albarn.
I'm gonna say, which you don't want to hear anyone ever say from Damon saying that they're mental.
Yeah.
If you hear Damon saying, hey, don't work with him. He's mental.
Stay away from him.
You're right,
he's
dude.
A fucking idiot.
He's like, hey, you're right, dude.
Yeah,
like. Fucking tell the funky homo sapien falls off stage. You're right, dude.
Oh, no. But,
Never forget. That's getting an award, by the way. Just that worst performance.
Worst performance.
Stage performance.
Paul McCartney has worked with Kanye West on 4 or 5 Seconds, Only One, and a couple of other different things.
God.
But it's not the direction he wanted to go in, which is fine because... imagine how far music will have fallen if a Paul McCartney song begins like a nice guitar strumming and then all of a sudden you hear boop. Oh, you're not just be a damn shame. So yeah, thank you Paul McCartney for saving us from that.
And we're a great podcast because we don't dip into meaningless celebrity drama.
Like the fact that Drake apparently has an 18-year-old girlfriend, but like it's irrelevant. It's weird, but not irrelevant.
We you know what? I wish he was 17 so he'd get to jail, but you know, that's just me.
Anyways, now it's time
rap
for,
beef.
Speaking of controversy, rap beef!
Rap beef, nigga!
Punk ass move.
Controversy.
So, first thing in the rap beef segment, Eminem versus Machine Gun Kelly, the Whole Foods Invitational.
Ben Staples says, can y'all just duke it out? Trade Joe's? I'll let y'all be comfortable, too.
Get some common ground. No, it's funny following Vince Staples trying to like instigate this fight.
Dude, but Vince really wants to bring back rap beef. Vince is a real one. It's like, I want 90s rap. I want to carry a 45 with me everywhere I go.
I truthfully don't think Vince Staples would do great if this were a true rap beef segment.
Oh, no.
If this were true like 90s rap beef. Yes. But nevertheless, Machine Gun Kelly, Eminem started this because, well, how did this really start, honestly? I'm not sure, but Eminem on his last album made disses for everyone, assuming, including Machine Gun Kelly, which is probably the best thing to happen to Machine Gun Kelly's career.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so they released, Machine Gun Kelly released another diss track going back at Eminem, which we didn't talk about, because again, who is Machine Gun Kelly?
We don't even know who MGK is.
But Eminem released another response, like 2 weeks later, called Killshot. This is definitely not as clean of a rap beef as Drake and Pusha T earlier this week.
Yeah.
Where Drake got back to Pusha T in like less than 2 business days.
You got that.
Oh, you just Prime Day. Pusha T came with a bucket.
Pusha T came with a bucket. But this bucket technique. Boom. Don't even need to hit him. You just bucket. Boom.
What was it about Prime Day? Jeff Bezos trying to open schools for homeless people to make it distract us from the fact that we need to tack the shit out of them?
I mean, he's sponsored Iron Man, so I'm not allowed to call it's like, Amazon anymore.
I'm not allowed to.
Due to my parole, I cannot say anything.
This is the, like, I must stop talking for corporate reasons episode.
Yeah, okay, they haven't hit ITU yet. If this is ITU Grand Final but brought to you by Amazon, then I'm officially fucked. Then I go,
We gotta delete the entire podcast.
Then literally we have to delete every single Audio Face episode because I think I told him to get the guillotine like 48 times on here.
I think even before my Elon Musk guillotine thing, we were talking about Bezos pretty heavy.
Oh man, anyways, who is MGK? Who gives a shit? Anyways, go duke it out, please.
Yeah, I really want this.
I really want to see, just go to Cracker and Barrel. Like, it's like even more fucking...
Oh, there's one last thing relating to Eminem that I wanted to mention. Eminem actually says that he should have put the brakes on the Tyler, the Creator diss. Because, I forget exactly what it was.
Does he need to get on the short list for the Little Bitch Award? Because he says, I need to pump brakes?
No.
If you're Eminem and you need to go full gas, you need to have that brake fly out of your window. You can't have any brakes.
I mean...
You need to have Toyota brakes, 2009.
You're right. Eminem has always been provocative, but the times are getting less provocative, whatever you will. And so...
Because PC culture.
The fact that on the... diss track, Eminem took like charge at Tyler, the Creator's sexuality, which is
well,
I mean, Again, this is another case of I don't want Tyler, the Creator, to be the hill I die on, because he's also been really shitty about homophobic lyrics.
I was about
lyrics.
To say, you see the lyrics that we talked about last year for Tyler, the Creator?
Exactly. So
it
like,
was
no one's
40
really,
times worse.
No one's really safe here, but I'm still Eminem going that low is, I think, something that even he kind of regrets. And you can argue whether Eminem should regret
it. It's like, you know, that's
it,
not but, tasteful, but you said it, fuck it, whatever.
Yeah. He, and originally this all stemmed back from Tyler, the Creator, and Earl Sweatshirt.
Riley Freeman. It's gay, it's gay.
Shut up. This all stems back from Earl Sweatshirt saying that, Eminem fans that drink too much Mountain Dew.
And, oh my god, I forgot he did that.
And Tyler tweeting that Eminem's collaboration with Beyonce, Walk on Water, was, quote, horrible.
I mean, yeah.
And Eminem's like, I'm not going to be America's punching bag, but I'm also not going to be America's punching fat. Anyways, Nicki versus Cardi.
I thought mine was bad. Damn, you might even need to bleep that. Jesus.
I'm allowed. I'm allowed that word.
You're allowed that word?
According to the trolls. According to the trolls, I'm allowed that word.
So it's like me, how I could call people Nazis?
Yeah. I think that's allowable.
You know, so all right, hold on, let's establish some ground rules. As the resident in German, I'm allowed to call people Nazis.
Yeah, I think you're the final.
Everyone else is like, ooh, he's a Nazi, but like, no, I could say it. You're a Nazi. Now you are. I could do that. All right. I love it.
Nicki versus Cardi, we're calling this the Real Housewives of Mumble Rap.
Real Housewives of Hair Extensions.
Nicki Minaj addresses the Cardi B fight by saying, get this woman some fucking help, which is funny when, this is another case where, like, when Nicki Minaj tells you to get fucking help, don't take that advice, because it's not, Nicki Minaj is not your therapist.
Oh god, I just imagine Nicki Minaj is a therapist, and that's the worst.
That's a super deluxe video waiting to happen.
Oh man, anyways, Cardi B got the dog shit beat out of her, first off at the fashion show.
Yeah.
She rolled up and there's a giant fucking bump in her head. Looked like a beehive was stuck in your forehead.
Like the mosquito come for your face? That doesn't look good. But even, there are some other light rumors that I haven't been able to confirm, but apparently Rihanna made it so Cardi B was banned from her, like, performance that was last night. Because she didn't want, like, any foolishness or, like, crazy
beehive. You know, I mean, that's honestly a good call. It's like, fuck out of here. I don't want any badness to come. Badness, that's a new word.
Yeah, but I actually have not been able to confirm that from any source that's really reputable. Apparently Rihanna has, it was Diamond Ball, that's her thing. She unfollowed Cardi B on Instagram, which I don't know what that even means anymore.
Oh, she unfollowed me. I'm gonna sue that bitch.
Right? So yeah, the rap beat continues between Minaj and Cardi B. It's a little, I don't really see a point to it, I guess. It's publicity, whatever. And then,
all I know is that she got the dog shit beat out of her, so.
That did happen. I'm still taking Cardi B's side on most of this, because Nicki Minaj is just kind of sad that her album didn't do as well.
You know, I don't like either, because one named her son or kid Culture, the other is just shitty at music.
Totally fair points. Now, Travis Scott and Frank Ocean were about to have a beef, but apparently they didn't. And so there was news that broke earlier this week that Frank Ocean had sent Travis Scott a cease and desist letter because Frank Ocean didn't like the way that his voice was auto-tuned on Astroworld.
It's like, why am I, is that, he listens to the song, why the fuck am I auto-tuned?
It's lit! Yeah, yeah, yeah!
Oh,
and like, Frank Ocean has an amazing voice.
Oh, it does, exactly. That's the whole point.
So auto-tune is basically an insult at that point.
Yeah, what's up with that?
But that actually wasn't the case. Frank Ocean said, I approved it before it came out, so the cease and desist wasn't about music. It was about, and then he uses the pride flag emoji. And said, ooh, me and Travis resolved it amongst ourselves a week ago. Oh. And so there's some speculation that Frank Ocean was among some of the people who were angry that the trans model was edited out of the picture.
That's right. I forgot about
Astral that. World cover. That's some speculation, but it's not clear. But Travis Scott posted an Instagram picture with merch of Frank Ocean's, which I guess is the way we say we're cool,
like,
nowadays.
We cool. I'll start getting you paper stacks. When really
we,
cool.
Sean, whenever we get in an argument, I'm just gonna like post a picture of your bike and say, hey, we're friends. Just so you know. That's how men do it nowadays.
So now I just have to post your fucking logo or something, be like, we good.
Yeah, then that'll solve everything. Just please follow me at Dan from the Internet, because I'm a sellout. Anyways, we'll be talking about
Clack.
Black.
Did I really just say Clack? Oh, you my God.
Clack. Great work. East Atlanta Love Letter is his album.
Black.
It's okay. I do this all the time. Like, I sometimes in my head still say Deadmau5.
That's hilarious. Well, that's because I just looked at it and I go, Clack. Black.
Yeah, but he released
anyways,
an album. I'm trying 14, to get to it.
14 songs, 47 minutes long. East Atlanta Love Letter, which whenever I hear East Atlanta, all I think of is East Atlanta Santa.
Of course.
That's what I always think
of. Has Gucci Mane released 3 more albums this year? I haven't checked.
You know, I'm just waiting for the return of East Atlanta Santa, Woptober 2. That's all I'm waiting for. Wopmas.
Like, Wopmas.
So, Christmas comes to East Atlanta. Wops. Sean, I don't know.
Let's just stop.
Let's just
clip our East Atlanta Love Letter. Yeah, you said 14 songs, 47 minutes. Not too long.
No, it's not unbearably long.
I call this Trappin' B. Because it's like...
I was honestly going to ask you, how do I explain it? Trappin' B is honestly a good way to say it.
Yeah.
Which was kind of refreshing in a way. Still not my thing because I still want to be a trap-free zone because there are no safe spaces anymore. I need a trap-free safe space.
Sean's done a pretty good job of not listening to trap for the month of September and a little bit of the month of August.
Most of the month of August. I got over it.
There was one, yeah, I got fairly over it. And there was 1 week of Audio Face, and it might have been around a little bit after Travis Scott where I was like, I can't.
I honestly, after Astroworld, I was done. I listened to that because there was 2 trap albums that week, and I just can't. I literally can't. I'm done.
It was really hard. But this, I'd say there's 3 or 4 songs on this that are even trappy. The rest is just
hip hop, really.
I mean, it's...
Oh, rap.
It's the kind of beat that you might even see on a trap album, but it's slower, has a lot less of the quadruple hi-hat and the snare.
Yeah, there's just like fuck all snare in this album, which my ears are going, yes, baby, yes.
Yeah, it's definitely
leave that
refreshing.
Snare alone. I didn't mind it, honestly. There's just 3 features.
4 features.
It's 4.
One of them is
Shit, Khaled. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Awkward. There's a Future, J. Cole, and Offset, and then Khaled, apparently. I didn't realize
Khaled. Khaled, we haven't given enough love on this podcast.
Yeah, probably because his name is related to DJ Khaled, and we just, whenever we see that, we get triggered.
Probably. That actually does happen in my head a little bit. I see Khaled, I think, oh no, not DJ Khaled. Another one. But the feature, it's a good amount of features. I don't like too many features on an album.
We don't like Starfux.
They're very spaced out, too.
Yes. So, honestly, you just hear it and you're like, okay, that's just J. Cole on this song.
Yeah.
This feature. That's why I didn't even realize Khaled was on it, honestly.
Another thing to say about this album,
no.
It tells a story.
Yeah.
It listens and it plays through, which not a lot of trap really ever does, ever.
It's because the trap tends to just go one song at a time and it just feels like it's all thrown together. That's why we can say, oh, this can go on a song or an album that came out 4 years ago and perfectly fit.
Yeah.
Which is not something we necessarily want. This is something where it is telling a story from top to bottom, more or less. And each song is going to the other one.
Absolutely.
I quite enjoyed it.
At
first, when I just saw it, I go, I'm not ready for trap. The first song I was listening to, I'm like, I'm just waiting for the trap. And I go, this, okay.
Yeah.
And the second song, I go, oh, he's actually telling shit. All right. And
yeah.
And then he swooped me in after Loaded Gun to the second song. He swooped me in and then I liked it.
And if you... for some reason are just like, no, I want more trap, then Offset's like the song featuring Offset, which I think was my least favorite song on the album,
trap,
was trappy, and Future's song is a little bit trappy, but as we just mentioned with Future, even Future is not in a trap box alone.
Mm-mm.
And he's always been a little bit more about feelings.
You don't need to have feelings when you go clean your room.
I personally found the song Stan very annoying just because I never loved the word, but yeah. Other than that, I think this album is very good. And Black, I was listening to his other album, Free Black, before, because I hadn't listened to a lot of him, but I kind of knew of him, to figure out, is he going in a different direction than usual? Did he make more trappy things before? And no, he's kind of always done this, trap and B, which I think is very cool. It's definitely
a video podcast.
It's definitely different. it's not like something we've sound like. And he has talent, like he has lyrical talent.
He knows what he's doing.
It's so refreshing that I didn't hear an album that, this isn't forgettable. This isn't just like another trap album in the ether. This stands out for doing its own thing, and it's really great. Today's ranking system, maybe just because I'm a little bit like recently removed from this, but the ranking system for today's podcast, the arbitrary ranking system, will be parts of the plane. As far as this is first class, business class, oh, okay. Economy.
Holy shit. Oh God, you saw parts of the plane. I go, a plane crash?
No.
You can't do that.
I cannot do that, especially because my flight out was on September 11th. But,
No, you get the jokes, humans.
Yeah. Which part of the plane is this album sitting in? Higher class is better. I would give this a decent, like, business class. Middle seat in business class. You comfortable? It's not,
yeah,
like, top,
yeah,
of the line.
I mean, that's what I would see my upgraded flight from Virgin. Like, unexpected upgraded seats where you get more leg room and you get four Heinekens because you have a kicking, screaming baby behind you and you already crashed on your race in Florida and you already hate Florida because it's fucking weird. And you have to fly back to L.A. at 2 in the morning and you just want to get drunk and sleep. And you do that.
War humidity
and broken shoulders. Anyways, so now going on to some
more news.
Depressing news, I guess, is Lil Wayne apparently tried to commit suicide when he was at age 12.
Yeah.
He revealed.
Yeah, he had originally said that. So, according to the Fader, the way they're explaining this, when he was living with his mother in New Orleans in 20.
New Orleans.
He was 12. He shot himself in the chest with a bullet just missing his heart.
Holy shit, wait, what? He like
actually. Just wild. In the past, he called this an accident, but on a new verse that's on his upcoming album, which is finally going to get released because he's out of that contract.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's coming out, I think, next week, actually.
Has it already been that long?
It's been like 5 years, man.
No, seriously, I remember when that happened. That was, holy shit, that
yeah,
was 2013.
Yeah, he finally got out of the contract, like, this month.
About fucking time.
And so we should
talk about that, actually.
Yeah, we should,
Like, give a little Spark Notes version to the people when his album comes out so we can explain why it took so fucking long for him to make an album.
That's absolutely a good idea. We might have to do that sometime this week, because I think it might come out next week. I need to double check.
Okay.
But, I mean, let's keep, like, I've said this before. On Audio Face, we joke a lot about, like, these kinds of things, but mostly the reason why I am personally not comfortable, but I do it, is because I also survived a suicide attempt, not when I was 12, but when I was 13, and it was a very kind of similar case, although it didn't involve a gun. That's so hard.
Dude, gun is next level.
Yeah. Knife is bitch shit in comparison. Wow. But...
Tandy's little bitch word.
When I'm starting to second guess my suicide attempt, that's probably the time to move on to the next part of the story.
That's it. All right. So Young Thug later.
I want to say this one last thing. I like that someone like Lil Wayne is opening up about his mental health.
That's huge.
That is huge.
You know, sincerity is scary. Name of a title of a 1975 song that just came out. But it works because there's so many people who want to hide their feelings and shit in this day and age, especially in trap. Like that's
especially
such,
in rap, especially it, in trap. Especially,
I mean, that's huge, yeah. Because it's just manly, throw your dick on the table, mind thud saying, you know? And when you say, hey, look, I was so fucked up in my head that I shot myself in the chest.
Yeah.
In your chest. And that takes a lot of balls, honestly, to open up about that. So
yeah, I'm really happy about that.
I'll allow it. And then apparently, you know, Thug.
Young Thug turned himself into the authorities in Georgia. He was charged on 8 felonies, mostly drug-related. Let's run through it. He's charged with possession of methamphetamine, hydrocodone, marijuana with intent to distribute, possession of amphetamine. I haven't heard of that one. Alprazolam, and 2 counts of codeine possession.
What alprazolam? I got a lot of cocaine habits.
This is one thing I found out about Georgia that makes me hate the South more. In Georgia, possession of more than 1 ounce of marijuana contains a mandatory minimum sentence of 1 year in jail and up to 10 years
Holy
in prison.
Holy shit.
That is so dumb.
That means a lot of rappers need to be thrown in prison.
Georgia, get your shit together. No one needs to be thrown
Georgia,
in prison for an
I mean,
ounce of
marijuana. Georgia gets the hard R award, but... Look at their state flag.
Georgia's state flag, that state representative on This Is America, who is either from Alabama or Georgia, who fought terrorists using his naked ass,
yeah,
and felt that he could scare away terrorists by shouting the N-word, and yeah, basically did so unprompted. Georgia's real, man.
Georgia's
Terror Bell, Terror Bell, yes, sir!
Holy shit.
There are some DJs
who are... I can't talk.
Fortet, Disc Woman, and Laurel Hilo, among others, are joining, like, these DJs are joining a, like, group for a cultural boycott of Israel. So they're kind of the latest musicians to join the BDS movement.
Didn't Lana Del Rey, like, stop her thingy?
Yeah, Lana Del Rey was, like, she, it's the same thing where she's going to do it, she thinks it's not a problem, fans cry out, and then she goes, yeah, you know, this is something I actually am not going to stand for. So Lana Del Rey, but she's not a DJ.
No. But I'm just saying, more artists seem to be getting into it. I'm not allowed to say anything.
Fortet.
Because we still pay war reparations.
Fortet tweeted, as long as the Israeli government continues its brutal and sustained oppression of the Palestinian people, we respect their call for boycott as a means of peaceful protest against the occupation. Mm. Which is, this is peaceful protest. It's not anti-Semitism. It's by people who care about human rights, not to get political.
Music to my ears. I can't say anything. So let's go to Bob Moses.
Yes, Bob Moses' new album, Battle Lines. Bob Moses...
11 songs, 48 minutes long.
Bob Moses is this electronic music duo. By electronic music, they... Again, it's not quite electronic music, because I'm not trying to describe EDM. It's kind of just like...
That's what I hate about the genre sometimes, because it's so hard to describe. It's like...
It's not synth alternative.
It's not synth I mean, it's experimental house is the best way I can...
Very house. Yeah, house. It's definitely it's in the house.
It's all. It's definitely house, but... Like, as experimental house is the best way I can put it.
Yes.
And but, that is my wheelhouse, baby. That
your
is
wheelhouse.
My fucking bread and butter. I listened to this shit 3 times already. When I was going to pick his ass up from New York, I'm like, I want to put on some Bob Moses.
I subtly noticed that, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't. And man, I love
this. This is an album and a half. Like, really, it's good.
So made me so happy.
My first listen through, I think I added 4 of 11 songs in this album to my sex playlist. That's really good.
Oh man, I need to make. I'm not gonna say that on air.
Don't jinx yourself, mate.
No, it wasn't about that.
But no, every single song. So what I've always loved about Bob Moses is that they can make, in a song with electronic elements that has passion and fun and feeling and emotion, kind of all wrapped together in a way that's not cheap. Like the cheap the cheap way to get emotion in electronic music is pipey typey build up drop.
Yeah, and then also just have the stupid the vocal mix of some random chick you found
random
on YouTube.
Screeching.
Yeah, exactly. Saying something, why don't you love me? That's EDM.
Yeah.
In a show.
Yeah.
This is more personable.
Yeah.
You know? Like it reminded me a bit of Junior Boys. Not with this, because Junior Boys are very powerful lyrically and vocally.
Yeah.
This isn't as it, but the beats and the mixing and how well produced it is.
It's a little more lo-fi than Junior Boys.
Definitely a lot more. But I mean, Junior Boys early stuff.
Right. But it's absolutely an apt comparison. I think it's a great comparison because the DNA of what you're trying to accomplish and get across as an album as creating an experimental but incredibly approachable house, but something that's not, again, easily categorizable. Bob Moses has done that before.
Yeah.
And yeah, they did it again. It's even a little bit different from the last album I remember by them, Days Gone By.
Yeah.
They did it right. It still keeps their sound. It pushes it a little bit further ahead. And it's a really good sound they've got. What they're doing is very good.
Yeah.
It actually, if I'm nitpicking, the album didn't flow right to me, like all the way through. It was okay, but it felt like...
What do you mean by...
To me, so...
I had no problems with how it flew. Flowed.
That's an English question.
How do you... I love...
Let's not stump ourselves there. What I meant by
sorry,
that
I
was...
Like, stump myself the English language, which I do on daily occurrence, but that was a good one.
What I had... What made me kind of pause with
pause.
the way the tracks were listed or how they went through, I think I feel like the high moments or the pickups of the album that I would usually expect an album to be weren't there. And instead it was kind of, not monotone, but a lot less range between high-paced, fast songs and, like, slower songs than usual. But
I see what you mean.
That's kind of a Bob Moses-specific thing, because that's kind of just their sound. It's not too, like, loud and chaotic. It's not too quiet and soft. It's kind of, not to say it's always the same kind of drone, but they have a, their high and their low range is just much shorter than other artists are. But even with that, usually that would be a disadvantage, but it's one of those constraints that works in their favor. The fact that they're constraining their sound in a certain way makes it so they can really explore and push the boundaries within that, if that makes sense. Because I've talked about albums before where
it's
good
to
be experimental.
Okay.
And part of being experimental is knowing where you want to put your ceiling. Because you can be experimental and just go all over
the
place.
And just go fucking mental. Yeah. Or you could put a limit on, this is kind of the sound I'm trying to figure out. And I'm going to take an album to see if I...
I'm going to work
pick
within
something.
This.
Yeah, I'm working within these limits. Basically, it's like a you give me a calculus question. Give me my limits. Yes. That's what I'm working with.
Yes.
Just nerd the fuck out on that. Anyways.
We're reaching the limits of my calculus knowledge.
Where am I? That's right, you don't know shit. Where am I sitting on this? I'm sitting like...
This is first class.
This is first class.
No, no, no. In fact, a couple of these songs in the Mile High Club.
Wow, damn. I was going to say, you're on the Emirates first class.
Oof.
You're on that.
Emirates first class,
baby. I mean, do you get like three girls with the comes with the ring?
Oh, that's beautiful.
So you got some. Never mind.
Which Emirates?
Oh no. That's so bad.
I told you we're just dancing on the line.
Anyways.
Is that your same ranking? Is it like a first class for you too?
That's what I said, a first class on Emirates.
Yeah, this is a solid ass album. I'm very happy.
All right. So apparently the Chili Peppers are on a new shit.
Yeah, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I'm Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers said that they will be going back to the
recording.
You're
Native American. You're Native American over there.
Oh yes.
True Native American. He's a true American right there. He owns this land that Andrew Jackson stole from him.
I love that. Hashtag no politics. I love the way Canadians refer to them as First Nations or like First People. Where it's like,
because they also have their tribes and stuff. They're people that will fuck you up, and they had to stand against the government like the 80s. Don't sleep.
I love this song. But yeah, in about 2 weeks or so, they're going to be going back into the recording room. And
I just want to see Flea with like neon green hair and this man's skirt on stage. I'm going to be very disappointed.
Red Hot Chili Peppers making music is, I mean, we're Californians, which is a layup for us. We're like, Red Hot Chili Peppers is in our DNA.
Yes.
But even separately, like we've talked about how Flea, the bassist for Red Hot Chili Peppers, has worked with Tom York on Adams for Peace, which is...
Man, I love Adams for Peace.
Yeah.
Make news, please. I really pissed that we missed them on tour. And come back, baby.
Some mistakes were made.
That's a new one.
Nice job. losing the mic, you're wonderful. Nevertheless, I'm very excited that Red Hot Chili Peppers are going to be working on something. And I hope that they push their sound a little bit further. I believe they can, though, because they have...
They've done it before.
And they have the musical brains to do it.
Yeah.
I didn't add this to the rundown, but Black Eyed Peas are getting back together and making a new album, and that's going to be the direct opposite. It's going to be so bad. I literally don't want to hear Will.i.am's voice ever again.
Oh, I forgot about Will.i.am.
Remember, Will.i.am is the reason why Dick Riding Obama exists. He's made the original.
Obama came up and said, yes, we can. I said, I want to ride your nuts because I think you're the man. Now I'm Dick Riding.
Can we please talk about a different subject, hurricanes?
Hurricane? You mean Harry Kane? Big nose English striker? No.
Hurricane Florence is...
Fucking things up. Can you... Never mind. Hashtag no religion.
Hurricane Florence... Stones the
legend. I was going to say something extremely saucy, but hashtag
Hurricane
no religion.
Florence is happening in the East Coast. It's currently barreling down Carolina right now. It's really bad. But in the music world, it's canceled J. Cole's Dreamville Festival.
You mean No Bitch Festival?
Yeah, that wasn't gonna happen because J. Cole is too much of a bitch to ride out of a hurricane. No, I'm kidding. Literally do not ride out this hurricane. People die.
Don't.
Like, the flooding is unreal. But yeah, they're gonna try to reschedule, but just thought I'd put that out there because it's semi-relevant to regular news.
Now we go to No Name.
No Name.
Room 25, her debut, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, it's 11 songs, 34 minutes long. Kind of like a spoken word.
Very spoken word.
It was cool, different. Yeah. Completely different. Didn't know what to expect at all. Saw the album cover, I'm like, this is going to be fun. And I go, oh, it's just spoken word with some beats. It's like when Beck did that for a couple of songs and just like, okay.
Yeah.
Tangent. That was most of the album. But I mean, listen to it and you go, okay, I see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You
really
see... You got some bars?
Yeah. Absolutely has bars. Absolutely has, like, a lyrical rhyming talent. Like many debut albums. And there's, like, another thing called Telephone that came out that 2 years ago that doesn't quite look like an album, but it seems like almost
EP,
an expanded EP.
Yeah.
But this is definitely, like, a full fleshed-out album idea.
Yeah.
And musically, it kind of reminds me of the Internet's Hive Mind. That album that came out.
Honestly, because, no, yeah. Literally, that's exactly what I thought about too. Was the Internet's Hive Mind? Exactly.
Yeah, it has, especially the song "Blaxploitation," the second one, which I really love.
That's a good song.
It definitely plays with a lot of funk motifs and has those ideas.
And I was like saying, man, funk really is making a return.
I'm glad.
And for the better, honestly. I mean, I think it gets a bad rap a lot of the times. And
from who? I've never heard. Well. Maybe it's a cultural thing, but I've never heard funk in a
Honestly, rap. I think it might be a cultural thing, and it's because it's, you know, very prevalent in the Black community and everything. In other cultures, not so much. I quite enjoy it because I like music in general.
Yeah.
And I think it gets a bad rap from a lot of people, and that's why it's never... I mean, it's been in mainstream, but not as mainstream as, you know, how trap has just exploded through every culture just about, especially in our generation. And I think funk can do that. It can bridge gaps to me where
absolutely
it can really get people going and bring it together. And I hope it does because I love it.
I think as in a more general sense, funk can bring in people who don't love trap that
because
much.
Because you can bring in jazz people. You can bring
exactly.
In, like, there's just so much more range than there is.
Yeah, the sky is the limit. Whereas trap is definitely stagnating
right now. It's
very
one-dimensional.
There's like the sky is the limit with what you can do in jazz. You can like once you're talking jazz and funk, we can easily go into different time signatures and like really messing around with the functions
of the amount of instruments we want to use, the type of instruments, how they sound, the improvisation, if I Englished that right.
You did, good job.
And just within there, there's, you know, it's like the whole universe, you know? You can do so much with it, and I'm quite glad to see it. But anyways, No Name's album is quite good. Very spoken wordy, very lyrical, which I kind of expected seeing her album cover.
Yeah.
This is going to be some woke deep shit.
This is very woke hipster.
I was like, this is going to be some hipster living in fucking South LA or something, you know. Like a struggling art student walking around the tar pits or something.
No, this is not South LA hipster. This is like East LA hipster.
I can see East LA hipster.
This is like Tora Moi hipster.
Yeah, wow. If Tora Moi lived in Southern California.
If Tori Ma were a woman.
Tori Ma were a woman.
Potentially. Yeah. But truthfully, like...
But Tori Ma doesn't really do spoken word that much.
Yeah.
She did more.
I was about to correct myself because they're different styles, they're different vibes. I'm just ascribing black hipsterness, which is something I love fondly.
Because you are one.
Exactly. I was one way before it was cool, which is the most hipster thing to say. But it was
that. Is literally the most hipster thing I've ever heard out of your mouth. I want to crop that and put it on a shirt. I want people to look at me and they click play and it just says that.
You know there's a little lapel pen that plays GIFs?
I need that in my life.
You don't need it in your life.
I need that in my life.
Because it only plays the GIF 100 times before the battery dies.
Holy fuck, okay, that's a little extra, never mind. I need to make one then.
Can I print a GIF on the shirt? That'd be great. No. Let's not forget, the original thing you were asking was to get audio on a shirt.
Yes, exactly, because I'm crazy. I'm crazy. Look into it.
Look into it.
Anyways.
So I'm trying to think of songs I really loved in this.
Shooting.
And just thinking of it as an album, like, I give this the first album pass, the debut album pass, which means I'm not going to expect it to be...
perfect or anything. There's definitely... gaps and things that are missing in the album, but I mean, granted, it is your debut album. Some people some bands have literally veered completely off their debut album, like Sigur Rós. Their debut album, Vaughn, they veered off because it was like kind of punk rocky and shit, and then they went straight to post rock. So there's a definite big thing of leeway, but again, for that, this is a really very good debut album. I'm saying you're going on JetBlue, baby.
JetBlue?
I'm thinking you're getting the...
even more space?
Literally say the even more space JetBlue, so you're... And you get upgraded for free because there's nobody in the flight that you're going to San Francisco because it takes an hour to get there. So you're chilling. That's a fun plane ride.
Yeah. So. I would very much love to listen to the song Blaxploitation on an empty JetBlue flight to Northern California. I feel like that would complete the ride.
That would be fun. So now,
no more Lil Xan.
No more Lil Xan.
Allegedly. I mean, I take these I'm quitting the game things very with a grain of salt.
I'm retired.
But
Sean's out of retirement. People can't retire anymore. Oh my God, what the fuck does he have tattooed on it?
He says that because Memento Mori.
Memento Mori, you ZZZ.
Don't deal with it. He says that after Mac Miller's death, it hit him really hard and that he was the reason he was going to make music and that he doesn't want to anymore now that that's out.
Well, you know what? You call yourself Lil Xan, you fucking nitwit.
Xan added that he's also tired of the hate, saying, quote, I just don't want to deal with that.
Well, you named yourself Lil Xan.
Yeah.
He dies of an overdose. You're named after fucking Xanax.
The 22-year-old's latest album, Total Xanarchy, was released in May.
Case in point.
Yeah, I mean...
No sympathy for you. We already talked about Mac Miller... Shit, did I even talk about Mac Miller's death?
No, you didn't. Did you have any words about that? Because I mostly talked about that last episode.
I mean, it just goes into the whole prescription opioid crisis thing that we've talked about before and how musicians and stuff, it's all fucked up. And a lot of people go through stuff, so you need to open up about yourself. Which is very hard to do, and I understand that. So, but more and more people need to really just be able to come out and just talk about shit. They've gone A.E. Lil Wayne saying, hey, I knew he killed myself. Stuff like that. It takes guts and balls, but you need to be able to do that. Also, he's a massive Pittsburgh fan in general. And as a Pittsburgh Penguins diehard fan, it's really sad to see that. So, and then, again, it's just in the community. We liked his album that came out this year. So I'm on the NPR Tiny Desk concert, too, and it sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a whole long list of the past 2 years of this keeping happening, so...
Well,
I mean,
happening kind of always, but of course we've been talking about it for the past 2 years and covering it, all that's happened. These have been some pretty significant ones over the past 2 years. I don't want to rehash the entire conversation conversation monologue I had with myself last week, but it's just an absolutely sad
thing. So, list most...
Lastly, I usually like to end with a fun story, so let's do that. Going from 20 down to number 1, I'm going to list with you the...
I'm not going to look at this list. I want you...
List? Okay.
You know what? Here, I'm going to turn off my laptop. We're done. All so right. I want you to... I'm going to get my genuine expression.
I'm going to read you the names, and then we're going to get takes from you.
Just go down the line. Go down. So 20 to number 1.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So there's a 3-way tie for 20 between Swizz Beatz, Russ, and Meek Mill. At $15 million.
Okay.
Number 19, Logic, $17 million. Respectable.
Yeah. Execution, baby.
Right? 18, Lil Wayne, $19
million.
Mm. 17, Lil Uzi Vert, $19.5 million.
Dear God, I forgot about him.
16, Birdman, at $20
million. Whoa.
15, It's Lit, with Travis Scott, at $21 million.
Yeah.
All right. Frank Ocean, why'd you auto-tune me?
Why'd you auto-tune Frank?
Number 14 was Chance the Rapper at $21.5 million.
Okay.
I mean, okay, so once you pass Travis, like around Travis Scott, you start to realize a pattern with these artists, and I'm going to see if you can pick up the pattern, because I definitely got it. It's a 14 Chance the Rapper. 13 is Eminem, another little bitch Eminem, who might, I'll put him down for the award, maybe. Number 12, the Amigos.
The friendos.
11, another one.
Oh my god.
DJ Khaled.
Okay.
Number 10. Boop! Okay. I'm just gonna start announcing
really?
Their rap tags.
He's only at number 10?
I mean,
broke.
Wasn't he begging Zuckerberg for money a while ago?
That's so shitty he was.
Number 9, Future.
Okay.
Number 8, Mr. Worldwide, Pitbull.
Pitbull.
Number 6, Nas. Respectable.
This shit do rags hitting it up.
Number 6, Dr. Dre of course.
Yes.
Number 5, J. Cole.
No, J. Cole.
Number 4, Jirake. Drake.
I thought he was gonna be number 1.
Drake.
Fake ass Jamaican.
Not gonna talk about that 18-year-old. That's a little weird. Number 3, Kung Fu Kenny. Number 2, Diddy. And number 1, the Jigga Man.
Jigga Man strikes again.
Let me read those numbers. So, Dr. Dre is at 35 million. So is Nas. So, Nas and Dr. Dre are tied at 6.
Tied at 6.
J. Cole's at 35.5 million. Shit. Drake is at 47 million. Kendrick is at 58 million. Diddy's at 64 million. And Jay-Z is 76.5 million.
The amount of features they have.
That's interesting. That's a good point that I wasn't even paying attention to.
Because I was thinking in my mind, how many times have I heard them in other songs and other tracks, producer roles even, they are all doing shit. They are all in the game. They are working hard, might not be for the better, but they're all doing different things. I mean, that's how I assume they're recording. It's just their gross earnings through music, not sponsorships and other bullshit, insider trading, Wall Street executives, you know.
I think this is just... So mine was going to go into more of that.
But what was your...
Yeah. Beyond music, once you get past Eminem...
They market themselves.
Yeah, once you press get to Travis Scott, we're not talking about musicians anymore, we're talking about brands.
And talk about celebrities.
Yeah.
Remember the celebrity musician, which I've been complaining about forever, because they have such a big persona that it influences their music.
Right.
To me, more of the worse than the better, because look at Kanye. Old Kanye stuff... I like Graduation a lot. Fantastic album. And then that's when he started doing stupid stuff. And he says, I miss the old Kanye.
I miss the slavery was not a choice, Kanye. But I have a counter to that because I think Jay-Z, who's number one, didn't really sell out his sound. Kendrick Lamar so far hasn't. Let's go Drake. J. Cole.
Exactly. But I'm saying some of these are good, some of these aren't. It just depends on the person and how they are celebrity.
How they handle their celebrity, per se. To me, it's like, because once you get to Dr. Dre, he's not rich from producing anymore. He's rich because of beats.
That's literally, I would say, the reason why he's there is because he was very smart and made beats. But yeah, they're all brands.
Jay-Z has...
You hear these people and you think of them in commercials, think of them in television, what you see them in, and all these other billboards and crap that you see of them doing random shit.
Yeah.
Maybe perfume or cologne, whatever. They're doing shit and they're getting paid for it. So it's just them hustling and getting more... paper stacks.
Yeah.
And some are doing it plus while making great music, and some are doing it while selling the fuck out like fake Jamaican.
And it gives you a much more of an appreciation.
18-year-olds, what?
It gives you much more of an appreciation for those who are absolutely correct. That's allowable. That's a line. Well, Sean, you found the line. Great job. That's allowable, though. Because it's nothing but fact.
Facts don't care about your feelings.
Facts do not care about your feelings.
Mobsters.
Just
now we're getting derailed.
Yeah. But I think that there are a lot of artists on here, like, I'm happy that Logic is there. I hope he continues to climb it.
Also, he needs that money for his divorce.
Whew.
Oh, man. I'm so sorry, dog.
Migo.
Jesus.
Oh, he used to rap so much about, like, being married. Now he's like, oh, well.
It's like, whoops. You want to know why Sean never says get married? Why do we like marriage? Logic.
I mean, I think I can heavily relate to, oh, everything is going well. Whoops.
It's called hashtag Dan is Round Tour. I still can't believe it's over.
Migos, they're about to split up. I'm calling it now.
Can they all get different haircuts now?
Can they all sound different, please?
Fine.
Kanye, yeah. That's pretty much all I have to say about that. Before we end the show, I want to walk you through the next 2 weeks. Because I did this work while we were on vacation. So next week, next week is going to be the allegedly week of Audioface.
Allegedly.
Because allegedly, Brockhampton's releasing their album. Allegedly, Lil Pump's releasing their album. And allegedly, Lil Wayne's releasing their album. Less than, like, these are three albums that have just been floating in space with release dates that have been, like, forever. So maybe we'll hear all three. Maybe we'll hear none of them. Maybe it'll just be Sean. Maybe it'll just be Sean and I, like, shooting playing shit. Three notes for audio face and reviewing ourselves.
I'm down. It'll just be you critiquing my piano technique.
Right.
Ripping me a new asshole.
And me just figuring out how to make trap snare in seconds.
Right. Anyways, that was Audio Face 65.
Hold. Oh. I have a little bit more. Oh, Aphex Twin is releasing an EP next week. Oh, no, actually, it's from this week, but I want to talk about it next week.
Okay.
And then the week after that.
We got good shit. Oh, that's the 2 weeks. After that. Oh, we got.
Then 2 weeks, we have Roosevelt.
Roosevelt?
John Butler Trio.
Ooh.
Potentially Logic. Potentially Rudimental.
Fuck
and
me.
Dylan Francis, which I'm probably not going to like. But
I don't even want to listen to it.
Can
I skip listen?
We'll absolutely have to listen to it.
Oh, fuck.
And you should listen to the whole thing through. Because it does have... It is the reason why this is going to be interesting, even though I'm not personally looking forward to it, is because this is a mainstream American artist, white mainstream American artist, trying really hard to make Latin music, which is massive and something we barely ever get to talk about.
You know what?
I
always forget that he's going to be doing that, so I'll allow it. That's fine.
I mean, I think it's definitely worthy of a musical conversation for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So I want to do that, and then October it's going to be awesome.
Sober
November.
That's November, we got 1975.
Sober October, Bender November.
Let's do it.
Thank you for doing. We haven't done one of these. This is an hour. This is almost an hour.
Yeah.
We did a
Sorry,
long.
Sorry, ma'am.
It'll be okay.
It's 7:10. I'm not going there now. It's already started.
Sad day. Well, thank you for listening. This has been a great episode. It's good to have you back. It's good to also be back.
Yes. Not being on a plane. Headed.
You can follow, if you really want to, you can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at AudioFacePod. Sean is at SW Suarez and everything. Dan from the web on Twitter and Dan from the internet on Instagram. I almost said Dan from the Instagram. That's kind of clever. I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
I'm not going to do it.
Please don't.
Someone else will probably do it. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next week.
Cheers.
Bye.
That is the only English car I allow you, and I will allow an orange, and it could be in my house. I will allow a fucking papaya orange Aston Martin DB9 just for you.
Can I get a G-Wagon?
It's not EPA friendly.
You know what else isn't EPA friendly? Anyway.
Horses.
Whores. Whores.
Oh my god, we have a lot we could use from this and a lot that we need to delete.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to, again, another one of those fine tooth combs kind of
just
thing.
Like sp, sp, sp.